Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 23rd, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you get the answering machine, please leave your number, your prayer request, and or message. And yes, if you need a prayer, you can call me. I have another strong suggestion for you. Recently, we had a letter come in the mail, and so I took it to church with me, and I had the brothers help pray on it. We anointed it with oil, and we sat down and prayed on it. And if you would like us to do it in that manner, you can send me an email. We'll print it out. And if you want it after it's been anointed and prayed on, we can even send it back to you at no cost of any sort to you. Come on, it's just a postage stamp. So we'll anoint it with oil and pray on it, and we'll even send it back to you if you so choose. So you can consider that, too. You can find my email address at my blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself there, but the phone number I forgot to give you is 620-878-4682. Anyway, at prophecyhour.com, you can find our radio program archives and a lot of everything. Actually, prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all of our ministries and everything that we do. You can find a link to it at prophecyhour.com. So please go over there and check us out. Also, if you're somebody that likes to keep track of the most important latest breaking news, you know, I might do up to as many as 20 posts a day. And so please go over there and check it out, and you can get the breaking news. And remember that it's really smartphone friendly, and our radio program archives can be found over there, and it says End Time Radio Archives. Just click on it. Anyway, let's have a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. I'm really excited about this program today or tonight, depending on where you're at. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. I pray that you give our guests the words in which to teach the people, Father. I ask that you would also give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight, he's been on with us before. He's the publisher of the Economic Collapse blog. This blog is the go-to place if you want to know what's going on. Like today, one of the headlines over there that I'm looking at is commodities collapse just before the last stock market crash. So guess what's happening right now? We'll talk about that and much more. He's also the author of the book, The Beginning of the End, written as a novel, much as The Harbinger. If you haven't read The Harbinger, then I guess I'm talking through the air, but if you've ever read The Harbinger, The Harbinger was written, it had facts in it, but it was written as a novel. And, you know, it's one of the number one best-selling books in Christian or whatever books, but this book, The Beginning of the End, was written in that way, but it really has truth in it, and you should get the book. Recently, he made two very informative DVDs called The Economic Collapse, World War III, and the Death of America, and The Regathering of the Ten Lost Tribes of Israel. I strongly suggest that you get those DVDs. You can find them at the Economic Collapse blog, and we'll ask him how to get there, but it's really simply theeconomiccollapseblog.com, and wherever you be listening to this radio program, if you're listening to it in archives and not listening to it live, there should be a link to his website. So let's welcome now Michael Snyder. Are you there with me, Michael?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's great to be back with you.
Well, it's great to hear your voice, and And you just keep with post. I mean, you know, all these things that you write and you put on the Economic Collapse blog, every one of your articles just knocks me over.
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Dan. And you know, we live in such unusual times. You know, we could have lived at any time throughout history, but we get the privilege of living at this time period. And I believe, and we can talk about this during this show, I believe that events are going to start accelerating greatly during the second half of this calendar year. I'm talking about 2015. And I believe that they're going to keep accelerating as we head into the time that the Bible refers to as the last days, leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, things are going to get very chaotic and very dark, but also, what a privilege to be alive during biblical times. I believe that as things get darker, that also God is going to do some amazing things. And we get to live during this period of time. And to me, that's very exciting.
Yes, amen. I totally agree with you. I believe what the Word says. I believe that evil will get more predominant and more evil. But I also believe those that have light will get stronger, and we're going to see some miraculous things happen and miracles. It's going to be really exciting to see, don't you think?
Oh, I absolutely do. I absolutely do. So on my websites, you know, the Economic Collapse blog and End of the American Dream, I talk about some really hard things. And every day, you know, I'm writing about things that, wow, people say, don't you get depressed? Don't you get down about all this? Because they are some very, very hard things. And to a certain extent, we've got to look at ourselves, what we've done as a nation, where we've gone, what we've become. We need to see our own sin. We need to see our own wickedness so that we can repent and turn to God. You know, that's part of the purpose of it. But, you know, I don't feel down at all. I don't feel depressed at all. In fact, it's been prophesied by men and women of God all over this nation and all over the world that the greatest move of God that the world has ever seen is coming, and the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen is coming. And so my wife and I, every day we pray that we want to be part of that. We want to be part of that harvest of souls. We want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. And so we're excited about our future. In fact, we believe that the greatest chapters of our lives are still ahead of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I just turned 60 July 4th, but I don't feel 60, but I don't know what 60 is supposed to feel like. But I'm pretty energetic, go to gym. But I do that. I keep myself in shape because I can't wait to live out these days, because I believe that we're going to be helping people clear up until the time Yeshua returns. And there's some exciting things that I want to see. A lot of people just don't get it. You know, they keep saying, well, I don't want to go through all that. We'll pray that it doesn't happen yet. Well, you know, when they're praying that, they're praying for their Savior not to come back yet, you know. And to me, I don't care what I have to endure. You know what I'm saying? I want to see my Savior come back. I want to look up in the clouds. I want to see him coming.
Yeah, and this is a great time to be alive, and you know, a lot of people fear the shaking that's coming, but until the shaking comes, most people will not wake up, most people will not repent, most people will not turn to God, but the shaking is part of God's mercy. If all of a sudden just the end came in a single day, then people wouldn't have time to repent and turn. But as the shaking comes, and it's not just going to be economic shaking, there's going to be natural disasters, there's going to be all kinds of horrible things coming, plagues and war and everything else, but it's going to give the people a chance to turn, people to wake up, see what's happening, see all these things were talked about in the Word of God, they were prophesied ahead of time, that God is real, that God has brought judgment, and is going, but it's going to be a process of judgment which will enable millions and ultimately hundreds of millions of people to turn to God, to turn to the kingdom of God. And so there's going to be a division. You know, those who embrace wickedness and evil are going to get, it's going to get darker and darker, but then there's going to be, you know, people going the other way as well. So there's going to be this great division, and I believe we're seeing these things kind of come to a head in our nation. For example, in late June, we saw, recently I wrote about 7 key events that are going to happen before the end of September. And the first one has already happened in late June, and I wrote about this beforehand. I said in late June, we're going to see, or early July, we're going to see the U.S. Supreme Court decision about gay marriage. And right. I expressed my belief that that they were going to decide in favor of gay marriage. It had been prophesied by some of these men and women of God around the nation that that's what was going to take place, and it did take place, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of gay marriage. And I believe that's kind of a bookend to what happened in 1973 with Roe versus Wade, where Roe versus Wade was decided between then and now. We've killed more than 56 million of our own babies. What does a nation deserve that does that, that kills 56 million of its own people? But that's what we've done. And so God has given us so much time to repent, to turn around. But instead, we've continued to run the other way. And I believe now this is a bookend to that decision, this decision which has legalized gay marriage in all 50 states. And now since right. then, in just the past couple of weeks, we've had these videos come out showing how Planned Parenthood, they take these parts of aborted babies and they sell them to medical researchers. They're making money they're very careful, and they get the orders ahead of time, and then as they abort these babies, they're very careful not to damage the body parts that have been ordered, and it's horrible, and it's like Nazi Germany, and that's really what the United States is. We're not an example to the rest of the world. The only example we are is a bad example.
Right.
So I believe God is bringing out this wickedness to show us, and it's being revealed to show us what we've become,
right.
who we are, how far this nation has fallen, and it's decision time for people out there in terms of what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Another shocking thing that I saw yesterday, and it, well, now wait a minute, let me go back to your two bookends first. You're absolutely right. We invited harsh judgment against this nation, as there's always been biblically with the killing of children. But then to top it off with gay marriage opens the door for every kind of sex act, and saying it's okay, trying to make all that the normal. You know, he said it'd be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it truly is. And it's like you say, America is no longer that good example. It's a bad example. But something else that really knocked me out of my chair yesterday was when I read that Obama is dropping a part from the oath when you become an American citizen that says that you have to defend America. And that's just, it's ludicrous.
Oh, it absolutely is. We've got a con man in the White House who, he hates what the values and principles this country was founded upon. He hates biblical Christianity, and he's an Islamic sympathizer, and that's actually going to play a key role coming up later this year, because on September 15th, the 70th session of the UN General Assembly begins on that date.
Mm-hmm.
And once that the session begins on September 15th, France is going to introduce a resolution at the UN Security Council, which would give formal recognition to a Palestinian state. Now, in the past, the thing that's been blocking such a resolution has been the United States government. And in the past, Obama has said he wouldn't support such a thing. But now Obama has indicated things may be much different this time. So we're going to have this resolution introduced by France in September regarding the formal establishment of a Palestinian state, the formal dividing of the land of Israel into two states. The only thing standing in the way of that happening would be Barack Obama. And Barack Obama has already indicated, because he didn't like that Netanyahu got reelected,
right.
that new Israeli government doesn't seem to want to negotiate with the Palestinians or have any interest in the Palestinian state. So Barack Obama this time has already kind of given hints that this time Obama might not stand in the way but might give his support to this, in which case we could see the Palestinian state this September, which I believe prophetically opens up the door for all sorts of things.
Right. Absolutely. it would just change everything. There's a whole bunch of prophecy that's based on that time, and people don't get it. Israel, whether they like Israel or dislike Israel, you know, they, it really depends, I guess, on where they're at with the Bible, whether they believe it or not. But the point is this, is, you know, Israel is the time clock, you know, for the end time. And, you know, that's a dramatic step forward. I mean, a Palestinian state is just a dramatic step forward, don't you think?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. And, you know, but the funny thing is, I hardly hear any Bible prophecy teachers talking about this, about what's coming up in September. People have been looking for a Palestinian state for so long, and most have assumed that it would come as a result of negotiations between the Israeli government and the Palestinians. But now Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, as long as I'm in power, you know, we're not going to see such a thing. And so people have been watching that. But really, I believe that it's been Obama's plan all along to kind of, you know, he had these negotiations, but they failed, and to kind of force it into the United Nations where he could say, well, you know, I tried all I could, but, you know, so it's not my fault. But I believe that Barack Obama wants a Palestinian state before he leaves the White House. I believe this is his chance to get it. And then, you know, many of your listeners are aware that so many men and women of God around the world have prophesied things coming to states after the establishment of a Palestinian state. So if we see a formal division of the land, the formal declaration of a Palestinian state in September, that opens up the door for so many of these prophecies to be fulfilled. Specifically, I'm talking about is the giant New Madrid earthquake in the center part of the United States, which
right.
Jane Warren and others have prophesied that, you know, so many have received that once we divide the land of Israel, our land is going to be divided. It's going to be along the New Madrid Fault. And then another thing is, Efren Rodriguez, he came to the Prophecy Club, and you've talked about this before, but he talks about this giant East Coast tsunami, which is coming to the East Coast of the United States, a meteor hitting down in the Atlantic Ocean near Puerto Rico, producing this giant tsunami, which just inundates the East Coast of the United States. Well, according to Efren Rodriguez, that does not happen until after the establishment of a Palestinian state. So for so many of these prophecies, we're watching for this establishment of a Palestinian state. And we could literally be just a few weeks away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I, you know, looking at everything, whether it's, you know, hearing everybody talk about the Shemitah, that's more than likely is not, well, we're in the Shemitah year, but, you know, will happen in Lilu, 29, I guess, that's September 23rd, you know, with all these things happening, you know, I can feel it in the area. I can't explain it. But it's like I can almost reach out and grab it. I know, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying? Do you feel that? Or you feel that coming?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, I've never been more concerned about any period of time in my entire life than I am about the last 6 months of 2015. That's why back on June 25th, I wrote an article entitled "The Economic Collapse Blog Has Issued a Red Alert for the Last 6 Months of 2015. Now, I've never done this before. In all my time since I started writing, since I started the Economic Collapse blog in late 2009, I've never issued any kind of red alert for a specific period of time. And I know this is a very big thing to do. And, you know, when I was being trained as an attorney, kind of being trained up, I was trained to be very level-headed, only come to conclusions based on the evidence. And so part of me always wants to be real conservative and doesn't kind of want to push myself out there. But everything to me is pointing toward an imminent financial collapse. And I'm not talking about imminent within the next week or two. And I'm not saying that once 2015 ends that our problems are going to be over. In fact, I believe in many ways they're just going to be a beginning. But I believe we've arrived. We've reached a massive, major turning point. And so in that article, I explained so many of the things in the natural from a kind of from a secular economic point of view, why I'm so concerned. Now, this happens to line up with so many things that are happening biblically, like you just mentioned, the Shemitah cycle. of which we're in. If you look at past Shemitah cycles, there's been a financial crisis, which has happened either right as we're getting to the very end of it or immediately following the end of it. For example, if you go back to 1987, a Shemitah cycle ended in the fall of 1987. And right after it ended, all of a sudden, very shortly thereafter, we had Black Monday, which was in October 1987. Everyone remembers that. Everyone who's alive at that time, it was the largest one-day percentage crash in U.S. history up until that time. But that was right after the Shemitah year ended. But in the last couple cycles, it's happened on the day before the ending of the Shemitah cycle. For example, you go back to the year 2000. Shemitah year begins in the fall of 2000. It ends on September 17th, 2001, which was Elul 29 on the biblical calendar. In other words, the day right before Rosh Hashanah, the stock market fell 684 points, which up to that time was the greatest one-day stock market crash in all of U.S. history. And that market held for exactly 7 years on the biblical calendar until we got to the next Shemitah cycle. Started in the fall of 2007, ended in September 29th, 2008. Once again, it was Elul 29 on the biblical calendar. The day before Rosh Hashanah, the Dow fell by 777 points, which still today remains the greatest one-day stock market crash of all time. Now we started another Shemitah cycle. Started in the fall of last year. It ends on September 13th, 2015, which this time falls on a Sunday, so the stock market will not crash on that day, but it doesn't have to be on any particular day. As Jonathan Kahn has pointed out in his book on the Shemitah, it's that period of time as a whole that we're looking at, not necessarily one particular day.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, why it does, people say, well, why did it happen after the Shemitah year? Is because I believe clearly the Father gives us the year to correct ourselves. Well, we're getting ready to go to a break. Why don't you tell them where they can find the Economic Collapse blog? And by the way, folks, there are some links over there on his page to get his DVDs. Go ahead and tell them where to find it.
Yeah, my primary website is the Economic Collapse blog.com, or if you just go to Google and type in economic collapse, it'll bring up some of my articles. On that website, I primarily write about economic issues. Now, where I write about kind of a broader range of social, political, spiritual, prophetic events is on End of the American Dream. You can find that on endoftheamericandream.com.
endoftheamericandream.com. All right, folks, we'll check him out. And you know what? We'll be back in 3 minutes to talk more with you.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that we help that aren't homeless. You know, people that, I don't know, you know, they're struggling. I mean, they're putting a roof over their head, and they've got children, and some of them, not all of them, and their couples trying to make it, and they're working two or three jobs, some of these people, and they just can't make ends meet because, not necessarily because the wages aren't, you heard me say that they had to work two or three jobs. Well, that's because, you know, of Obamacare. So they can't put in a 40-hour work week anymore and get overtime and all those things that most of us grew up with. I don't know about how old my listening audience is tonight, but I'm 60 years old. I grew up with those things, 40-hour work week, anything over 40 hours. We got time and a half overtime and so on and so forth. And, you know, you have people that are making career jobs out of McDonald's and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just pitiful. We have not, and while we are talking about the economic collapse and some other things tonight, we haven't recovered from 2008 at all whatsoever. If you really look at statistics, we're worse off, and it's getting worse. And so many people come to us for help because they don't fit in with specific guidelines. You know, you go to an agency and you fill out a paper, and if you're one little thing off, you don't get no help. People walk in our door and they ask for what they need, and I listen to them, and if I believe them to be truthful, you know, I pray about it. Sometimes I have the thing they need right there, you know, which may be just a simple telephone, you know, out in the hall, or the clothing closet, or maybe they come in and they need first aid, or they need some over-the-counter medications because they got a headache and they got no money to buy any pain pills, you know, aspirin, or, you know, it's something else. And if we don't have it, you know, we pray about it. And, you know, if it's legitimate, I believe the Father fills the need in some way. And that's why even the agencies send people to us. You know, they say, hey, you know, go to Pastor Dan. He might be able to help you. You know, he does a lot of things. Well, we've been doing this. This is now we're in our 16th year, and my wife and I were laughing. We've been doing this for, you know, now half of the time that we've been together. We've been together 30 years. And, you know, we did this for over half of the time that we were together, helping people. And that's because we're thankful. That's why do we do it. Let's look at that. Besides the fact Father kept me up all night and told me to do it, the fact is that I am so thankful for him saving me from being a filthy, rotten sinner, and I say that with emphasis, and he cleaned me up and made me the person that I am now, restored me and my wife, gave us a family when my wife was not even supposed to get pregnant because that's what the doctor said. And now I have grandchildren. And then he did the biggest thing of all. While family is really big, he allowed me to serve him. And that's what we do. We serve him by serving others. We help people because of the Father. We are serving him. You know, folks, we are the last hope for so many. And, you know, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find out all this information at prophecyhour.com. And that means you folks all over that are listening to us. We get people from all over the country. Some people send us boxes with things in it, you know, whether it's over-the-counter meds or clothing or so on and so forth. But we also really do need your donations to help pay the bills, keep the lights, the electric on at the Mission Church. So really pray about it. We really do need your help. And I noticed that I'm really wondering, my listening audience for downloads has gotten real strong in San Diego, California. So this is a shout out to you folks in San Diego. If you're listening to us and you're some of that new group, well, thanks for dropping in and listening to us. I hope that you're getting educated from the program, because after all, this is a program. It's not a show. A show is meant to entertain. We are here to help teach you something. But for the record, I was born in San Jose, California, 60 years ago. So anyway, shout out to California. Anyway, we're now, here's the phone number, 620-878-4682, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now I'm done talking, so we're back with Michael Snyder. Are you there with me, Michael?
I'm here, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on. And, you know, the economic collapse, you hear what I said? I said that we really haven't even recovered from the last one that happened in 2008, have we?
No, in fact, in so many ways, poverty is even worse right now than it was back then in the last recession. For example, back in 2008, 18% of all American children were living in poverty. Just this week, we learned that the number has risen to 22% today. Or if you look at the food stamp program, back in 2008, the federal government was spending $37 billion a year on the federal food stamp program. Today, that number has doubled to $74 billion. In America tonight, there are over a million children that go to our public schools that are homeless, and so there's so much need all over this country. And so I hope people open their hearts, support ministries like yours, Pastor Dan, and others that are meeting the needs, that are showing love in a very physical, tangible way to people, meeting their needs. And because, you know what, it's going to get a whole lot worse. As bad as the numbers are now, I believe we're right on the precipice of the next great financial crisis. We're going to see unemployment skyrocket. People are going to lose their homes. It's going to be horrible. And so, you know, with as much need out there as there is right now, it's just going to multiply in the coming years. As believers, we're going to have really big hearts, because, you know, we're going to need to take care of our brothers and sisters, those that are hurting, because that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with this. At 2008, you know, I watched a lot of ministries, and they all of a sudden, a lot of them that were in Wichita that were helping people, either cut back or shut down over the next few years. And the reason being is because they were getting things from the state or from the government. And so, you know, that went away real quick. Because, you know, funding was lost. And then you turn around and then you see, you know, donations get lower for people and they go away. Well, what happens when, you know, all of a sudden somebody's not getting those food stamps and you have all those people that you were talking about not getting food stamps? Who's going to feed them? It is the job of the church, has always been the job of the church. And what happened, and the reason that we're in the position that we're at now, and I think why the church lost its way, is because the government stepped in and created welfare and these other programs. And so the church said, well, I guess I can, and maybe not every church, but for the most part, said, well, maybe I can start spending my money on something else. And you started seeing mega churches come forward and money spent other ways to where a very small percent of the money that they used to give to poverty and the children and so on and so forth is just gone. Back to you.
Oh, it's so very true. And as believers, we're commanded to help the poor. That's our mandate. And the federal government's not going to be able to keep this up forever. You know, the federal government right now, since Barack Obama has been in office, the national debt has doubled. And when you break down the amount of debt we've gone into, the amount of money that has been stolen from our children, our grandchildren, from future generations of Americans, it breaks down to more than $100 million an hour. So that means that, you know, if someone made a big Hollywood movie which, you know, had some robbers going and stealing $100 million from some financial institution, no one would even want to watch it because they would say, oh, that's unrealistic. That could never happen. No one could ever steal $100 million. Well, actually, our federal government is stealing $100 million from future generations of Americans every single hour of every single day, all while Barack Obama has been president. And it's a crime of unimaginable proportions, what we're doing to future generations of Americans, and yet hardly anyone ever gets upset about it anymore.
Yeah, it's like we're all, they keep calling it, well, this is the new normal, you know. I keep hearing that it's the new normal to have unemployment this great. It's the new normal for people to be on food stamps. You know, the reason why they're letting so many people on food stamps is not because of their compassionate hearts. It's because if you're getting food stamps and subsidies from the government, you're less likely to vote that party out of office. Back to you.
Yeah, and you know, and we just continue to business as usual, continue to making all the same mistakes, racking up debt to an unprecedented level, never seen in the world today. In fact, the entire world's in debt. Today, the debt to GDP ratio for the entire world, when you add up all forms of debt, it's 286%. It's never been higher. So the world is drowning in debt. Meanwhile, our big banks, our financial institutions are becoming more reckless than ever, and so we're poised for this big crash. And so we're moving toward it, and we're starting to see so many of the exact same patterns and cycles play out that we saw just before the crash of 2008. For example, right before the financial crisis of 2008, we see commodities take a big crash, because what happens when economic activity starts to slow down, people around the world don't use as many commodities such as copper, iron ore, aluminum, zinc, nickel, lead, tin, and lumber. All those things, they're not used as much. There's not as much of a demand when economic activity slows down, but that's precisely what we're seeing again. This week, commodities have been crashing. I wrote an article about it yesterday. Commodities continued to crash today, even after I finished writing the article. And so now, over the past 12 months, we've seen the commodities crash by a total of more than 26%. The Bloomberg Commodity Index just hit a brand new 13-year low. That means it's already lower than it was at any point during the last recession. But this is something that just happened just before the last crash, and it's happening again right now. And so many other similarities, you know, where we've seen margin debt go to three great peaks right before the dot-com bubble burst in 2000-2001, right before the last financial crisis, and another margin debt peak right now. Junk bonds, they crashed right before the last financial crisis. They're crashing once again right now. We had an oil crash crisis. The only time the price of oil has crashed by more than $50 a barrel was in 2008, right before the last financial crisis, and now we've seen it again happening right now, and the price of oil continued to tumble today. So many of the things that happened last time are happening again right now, and so many indicators are pointing to us. Go ahead, Pastor Dan.
I was going to say, I was going to point out that, you know, beyond the fact, you know, we just made this Iranian deal, Iran is saying that they're going to flood the market with oil. Won't that help to that oil crash?
Oh, absolutely, because the world is already drowning in oil. And some firms are actually storing oil offshore in the ocean in giant tankers, waiting for the price to go back up, because there's so much oil they don't have anyone to sell to, so they're just putting it in giant tankers, sending them out to sea and storing it there, waiting for things to turn around. But they're not turning around. As you said, this agreement with Iran, all of a sudden Iran can start to sell their oil around the world. These sanctions are being lifted. So that's, you know, another thing which is going to contribute to this. So, yeah, we've got these huge problems. Meanwhile, all over the world, we're starting to see these eruptions. You know, we've had the problems in Greece, but also Puerto Rico came out recently and said, our debts are too big, we can't pay them. Ukraine recently came out, we hardly heard anything about this in the Western media, but the Ukrainian government said, our debts are unpayable, we can't do anything about it. And so, but it's not just them. I recently wrote an article that talked about how there's 24 nations around the world that are currently facing a debt crisis, and there's another 14 that are headed toward a debt crisis. This is according to a big new report that was just released. And so we've got, globally, there's approximately $200 trillion of debt on the books. That breaks down to approximately $28,000 of debt for every man, woman, and child on the planet. And considering the fact that close to half the population of the world lives on less than $10 a day, that's a major problem.
Wow. $10 a day. I didn't realize that. $10 a day. That's amazing. You know, the poor in America even live on more than that, don't they, I think?
Oh, they do. They do. Here in the United States, you know, the poor are much wealthier than that. So that's why, you know, when you break it down to $28,000 for every child on the entire planet, our share of that debt is much, much larger because of you know, we have much more of the wealth here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and the other thing that worries me about this generation that's out there is, you know, when I grew up, I knew things, you know, I knew how to fix different things, and I knew survival things, you know what I'm saying? We have a couple of generations of people that don't know how to do anything, let alone make a fire or do anything, and so, you know, I think they're going to be helpless during this time that's coming.
Yeah, and unfortunately a lot of believers are not preparing either. You know, a lot of believers are kind of snoozing. They're saying, well, if anything bad happens, I'll just let God take care of it. But, you know, that I don't believe that's the biblical model. In the Bible, you know, we see, for example, God warned Noah about the flood was coming. Noah had to take action and build the ark, which was essentially about the same size as a World War II aircraft carrier, you know, for him and his family and the animals and so forth to survive. He had to take action. Or you look at Joseph, you know, in the Old Testament, God sent the warning dream to Pharaoh, and there was going to be 7 good years followed by 7 bad years. And so what did Joseph do? He said, oh, don't worry, God will take care of it. No, Joseph instituted the greatest food storage program the ancient world has ever seen. So they stored up food for 7 years, and so when the bad years came, they were able to not only save the nation of Egypt, but Joseph was able to save his whole family as well, and the nation of Israel, and the future of Israel, and the future line of Messiah by his preparation. So a lot of these believers who are saying, oh, I'm just going to trust God, you know, I'm just going to sit on my couch and do nothing. Well, you know, the Bible gives us warnings for a reason. From the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, we see warnings, you know, and they're not there to instill fear in us, but they're there to let us know that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's going on. He has a plan, and often the warnings are there to spur us to take action. And I believe in this day and time, God has given us warnings in innumerable different ways, and he's warned us, and he wants us to get prepared. And so I'm constantly encouraging everyone to get prepared for what's coming while there's still time.
Right, absolutely. Looking at things, you know, what really bothers me now, I mean, we maybe not see this event. When we say believers, at least when I say believers and I'm talking about the church, I'm generally talking about the Western world because, you know, we have a whole different pattern of belief, you know, that's not once you get out of the Western world. The Western world, though, has, to me, it's cheap grace, you know. Believe in Yeshua and then sit down on a couch and do nothing, you know, except for, oh yeah, don't forget, give us your money. And, you know, that's kind of where they've been lulled into. And most of them don't even know what sin is. Yeah, I don't know about you, but try it sometime. And I'm telling this to everybody. Ask somebody on the street or ask one of your friends. Say, what is sin? Ask them what sin is. You will get some really strange answers, and most of them won't even know. And so with that kind of a belief that I'm going to fly out of here, I don't have to worry anything, and that's put into them by these shepherds that are hirelings, and they're not really shepherds at all. Back to you.
Oh, it's very true. And most Christians don't even know that there's a definition for sin right in the New Testament. And it's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You know, but today churches don't want to hear about the law. They don't want to hear about that. But the Bible says that the sin is the transgression of the law. That's why we needed a Savior, is because of our sin. The function of the law is to show us our sin and so that we know that we can't do it on our own. We've got to have a Savior. And Yeshua went to the cross to shed his precious blood for our sins, to make the payment for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And I'm so thankful that he did. But Christians today, they want to throw out the Old Testament, which is about 75% of the Bible. But it's all about, you know, same book of the Bible, 1 John, it talks about the two keys to the Christian life are loving God and loving others. And that's the same thing we see in the Ten Commandments, where the first four commandments are about loving God. The last six of the Ten Commandments are about loving others. So it's always about loving God and loving others.
Yeah, absolutely. And loving, all those things that you mentioned, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, that is in the Old Testament, or, you know, it's in the Torah. People don't understand that if you did away with that, then most of the New Testament would have to be wiped out also, because what they're speaking is the instructions, which is the first five books of the Bible, which is the Torah. And, you know, it's more than just law. There's law contained in the Torah, but, you know, everything that happened, like what you mentioned about Joseph, that's Torah. You know, that's instruction. That's telling us teaching us how to react in a certain situation, you know. That is Torah. It's instructions for living. So if you threw out that, then you're going to have to throw out a bunch of the New Testament, because just like Yeshua, he used the Old Testament, so to speak, when he rebuked the devil. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Well, that's in the Torah, you know. Back to you.
Oh, it absolutely does. And Jesus specifically in Matthew 5:17, he said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law. And then two verses later, he specifically says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, which is most of the church today, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Yeshua said, anyone who breaks the commandments and teaches other people not to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, we're seeing a restoration of this understanding today, as we're seeing all over the world people understand that, oh, the whole Bible applies for today. In fact, and then in the book of Revelation, it tells us what the remnant of the last days is going to look like. In Revelation 12, 17 and 14, 12, it talks about the remnant of the last days are going to be those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua. And we're seeing people like that raised up all over the world. Pastor Dan, you're one of those people. My wife and I, we keep the commandments and we have the testimony of Yeshua. And all over the world, we're seeing this remnant, which was prophesied 2,000 years ago. It's being raised up. We're starting to connect together. We're starting to link up with one another all around the world. And the scriptures tell us that this movement, this remnant, is going to be very powerful in the last days. And we're identified specifically in the book of Revelation. And so, you know, I hope that those that are listening out there understand that, because God is restoring all things. He's restoring His instructions, His Torah. He's restoring the preaching of the gospel, like we saw the original apostles do it in the book of Acts, where we have a passion for souls. He's restoring the gifts of the Spirit, like we saw in the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit, without which we can't advance the kingdom. So, He's bringing all these things back together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's an incredible time that we live in. Well, you know what? I really enjoyed this hour. And, you know, we're at the end of it, of course. Tell them about your blog, where to get, and real quickly, tell them the name of the two new DVDs. They really need to get those DVDs.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Dan, you were breaking up a little bit in that last part there. What did you want me to tell the people?
About the names of the two DVDs that they can get, and they can find them at your blog.
Okay, you're kind of breaking up again, but, you know, people can follow my work at the economiccollapseblog.com. They can find contact information for me there, and I also write on endoftheamericandream.com, and my two books, which you can find on amazon.com, are The Beginning of the End, which is the novel Pastor Dan talked about earlier, and I also have a new book out called Get Prepared Now, which talks about making preparations for the time ahead.
Okay, and folks, do not forget, he made two new DVDs. One of them is called Economic Collapse, World War III, and the Death of America, and the other one is all about the tribes returning to Israel. That's what I was talking about. Anyway, brother, thanks for being on with me, and we'll do it again. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Pastor Dan.
All right, you be blessed, brother. Goodbye and shalom to you. Folks, I'm sorry if I'm breaking up. Maybe it's my air conditioner in the background. Usually I turn it off, but it's too hot out there today. But I want to remind, I'm having some really good guests coming up. And so, anyway, that must have been his listening device, because I'm getting reports that I'm crystal clear. So let me tell you what's going on. I'm going to pull up my calendar real quick and try. I hope I got time to do this. First off, Carl Gallops is going to be on with me in another hour, and we're going to be talking about a lot of neat stuff. I won't tell you what it is. Carl's always good, though. But I'm going to be having Tom Carey on and in July 30th. But what I'm really excited about is Doug Hamp's going to be on Mission Watch on August 6th. Now, this program, he really surprised me. I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, Torah versus grace. I have never heard him talk about the Torah as God's instructions, and he is doing so now, and this guy is well-researched, and so it'll be a dynamite program. I got to get out of here. You must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. And, of course, pray for supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We need your help. Pray about radio, supporting radio airtime. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you. And his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.